It is from her where you come from. It is from her these seeds were sown. Your DNA and mine, generations and bloodlines.
Fabric made that shit classic. That shit ain't average. We did. Who did music? Made that shit language. African branded. We did. Who took movement? Spirit included. Made it a movement. We did. Who's the origin? Straight from the soil and then redistributed. Who did?
Good afternoon. Welcome again to Africa 500. We are coming to you across the diaspora, Pan-African radio podcast, broadcasting to all of the Africans across the globe. Again, we're bringing you another week. We have this today as a part of Black History Month, aka Pan-African Heritage Month. We have rebranded it, and we're going to be highlighting some of our African women doing some amazing things on the continent. They are calling in today from South Africa, Nigeria, and Ghana. All agripreneurs rising in their own work, in their own way, with some amazing products. But before we get to them, today's show, of course, is on the African Green Revolution. So we're going to talk about those in the hair and beauty industry. So it's going to be fabulous today. It's a few news headlines across the diaspora. We know in the U.S. they are continuing their efforts to try to erase Black history, vote against Black history. In Florida, they seem to be their own country. And of course, you remember with Florida, the killing of Trayvon Martin. So that set off the whole Black Lives Matter movement. We want to keep that in mind with the actions they're trying to take Black history out of school, which they cannot do. We will not let that happen at all. I thought I read another interesting news article based on a book by Boya J. Farah from Somalia. Him and his family were running away as refugees, but he wrote a very interesting book on his time here in America, America Made Me a Black Man. You can find his interview on the Real News Network, but he's just talking about how when he came to America, he was just unaware of the racism and different things like that, but how when you come, you do have to take some type of stand and you do have to look at the brutality. You do have to look at the story, look at the narrative, and not turn away from it. And you do have to stand up. So he said he wrote this book as a warning to America, his love for America, but they cannot continue to treat people of African descent any kind of way. So very important book. His name is Boya J. Farah. The name of the book is America Made Me a Black Man. Very good book. We want to have him on in a couple of months on the show. Very good book. Also, I read a nice article. We're going to put out a plug for our doulas doing their thing and our midwives. You know, we've been highlighting that since we started the show. We want to try to get a million Black women doulas by 2030. If we can get 100,000, that'd be excellent because we know Black women going into, especially U.S. hospitals, have a high rate of dying something happened to the baby, and you can become a doula. So we want our babies born. The first hands they see, the first face they see is that African woman, that black mama. Just amazing. So, folks, we're putting out that campaign, that call to action. We want our folks becoming doulas. I have heard from some sisters who have been having their babies, and they may go to the hospital, but they still have their doula in that emergency room, which is a beautiful thing. So that's just a little bit, and we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to do a little bit of a song break, just to intro us in with Woman King is going to interest us in My Power, and then we're going to go ahead and bring our ladies on. All right, folks, give us a minute. We'll be back.
Always in the lead, who you wanna be, I'm who they wanna be, B-E-A-U-T-Y-E, never seen so much rage from a queen, rage from a queen, queen so strong cause she was a machine, girl of your dreams, Sinclair regime, turn to the max, can't forget Maxine.
Refer to me as a goddess, I'm tired of being modest, 100 degrees the hottest, if we're being honest, ebony,
anybody's black people. Of course, that was from the movie The Woman King, My Power. I just love this generation of young women today. They just slaying this blackness. We in total blackout this year. If y'all ain't get the memo across the diaspora, this is blackout year 2023, okay? So let's go ahead and begin our show. Today's show is on the African Green Revolution, highlighting African entrepreneurs that are rising on the continent who are in the hair and beauty industry. We have our sisters on today. Ladies, are y'all with us?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, so we're going to have you pronounce your whole name because I can't. That comes from us being separated and we done lost our language and don't know how to pronounce it. So we're going to start with our sister from Nigeria, then our sister from South Africa, and then our sister Joyce in Ghana. So Ayo in Nigeria, please pronounce your whole name for our diaspora audience.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tijani Ayomide. Tijani Ayomide.
Okay, nice.
My name.
Beautiful. And then we have Joyce in Ghana. Yeah. Joyce?
My name is Joyce Afuasan Jambejo.
Love it. Love it. And then we have Lindy Way in South Africa.
Yeah, I am. Hello, everyone. And I am Lindy Way Ntombika Zulu Makubani Somo.
Man, Brother Rich, we need to change our names, don't we? So much was taken from us when we was taken from our continent. Oh, my goodness. And all their names mean something, right? What's your name, me, Ayo?
Most definitely.
Where's your name, me, my Ayo?
Ayomide means my joy has come. The middle name, which is Kudro, is an Arabic name, which means God's capacity. So it's like two together. But the Tijani, which is the last name, is like a family name. I don't know the meaning of that, actually.
Well, what you
but
said,
that's my name.
That's powerful. That's enough. That's enough.
Yeah.
You exude that. And Lindy Wade, please give us a definition. You got like five or six names, right?
Lindy Wade means waited for, meaning, yeah, I waited for. Mm. And Ntombika Zulu was given by my dad. It's like a blend name, meaning a Zulu girl. Zulus is one of the tribe, one of the largest tribe here in South Africa. So, yeah, so I am of that tribe.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it.
And Makubani is like my surname. Yeah.
Nice. Beautiful. Joyce, what about you?
So it means you are the different one among the children. Yeah, so that's the meaning of my Afuasan. Thank you.
Different one among the children, and you are making your mark. I love it. I wanted to ask you that because it's good for us, I think, in America. What you think, Brother Richard, for us to hear what the names mean, they have meaning, because most of us still hold our slave master's name. And I think that's one of the things Farrakhan said to us. He put that challenge some years ago at the Million March, it was a Justice March, that's one of the things we should do is we should change our names. Get rid of our slave masters' name that we are carrying. So it's very powerful. Thank y'all. We appreciate that. That's a gift to us. With that, I want to start with you all asking the question, what is, as we are collaborating, you all on the continent right now, we're in the U.S., we all come from the same root. But what do you think is the importance of you all as African women connecting with us across the diaspora, the African women in Americas, in Europe? Why do you think that is important? I want to start with you, Lindy Way, and then I go to Ayo and then Joyce. Lindy Way.
Yeah, I think the importance of us uniting as African women would show, besides showing the importance of unity, and it also show that as women we are more than capable of working together. Because we actually see the patriarchy being undermined by our male counterparts in most cases, that women are not capable. But with this uniting as women, as African women, we are actually showcasing and proving them wrong, that we are actually more than capable to work together and as a unity, and together we can actually achieve and do more.
Powerful, powerful. What about you, Ayo, in Nigeria? What's your thoughts on the importance of us collaborating across the diaspora as African women?
Okay, for me, I believe that collaboration helps to sell that idea that you are not alone. You know, when you start going alone, you feel that you are going through what you are going through alone. But when you collaborate with others, you get to share their ideas, you get to share their struggles, and you know that when you are going through your own stuff or when you are going through certain challenges, you have people around you, so you know that the journey alone is not, you're not going through that journey alone, and with that confidence you are able to move faster, you know, forgetting about the patriarchy. If we have support, if you have unity, there's a lot we can do. You know, when you think about a broomstick, what one stick would do cannot be compared to what a group of broomsticks is going to do. So the coming together of women in the diaspora itself would help us further our cause and even achieve our goals, forgetting the future.
Further our cause, achieve our goals, that's powerful. And what about you, Joyce, in Ghana?
Yeah, for me, I think it's important as we try to work for the liberation of women, aside the liberation of Africans in the world. Women are undermined everywhere, especially where I come from in Northern Ghana, where women do most of their jobs when it comes to farming and other things. But women are undermined when it comes to leadership positions, when it comes to taking decisions, when it comes to even property, owning property. And so for women to come together in our age group, our class, coming together and pushing things, it is giving hope to the younger ones, telling them that they can do it. Yes, there's nothing to stop you as a woman. You can achieve, once you can dream it, you can achieve it. And so you need to go for it. I think this is a kind of role modeling for the African woman to know that, yes, we can take initiative, we can take leadership positions, we can take space and make impact. And for me, that's encouraging. It carries a lot of weight, and I'm hoping that it goes beyond this gathering so that other younger women in Africa, especially in Ghana and in Northern Ghana, can take up space, make impact, and change the world. Thank you.
Very powerful. Joyce tapped on some high points and why it's important for us to make our mark. All three of the ladies on, they are going against that narrative that they cannot do, and they are doing. And as she mentioned, it's important to do, to leave as a role model for us, for the younger ones coming behind us. Like last week, we had Florence Tott on, who is the president of U.S. Ghana Chamber. She was saying the importance of doing that. Brother Richard spoke about his younger daughters. They need to see us women standing up, rising up, showing that power, so they know they can do it too. Very important. Excellent, excellent. I wanted to go to, within that, you all have gone against the narrative. When Joyce talks about the Northern Ghana, she's talking about those in the rural. It's very difficult. Life is difficult. Lack of tools, equipment. machinery, different things of that sort, and it's like a throwback. And so for her to do the work she's doing and employ people, we're going to talk about that more, is important. But I want to talk about how you all are resisting this narrative of what women cannot do, the African woman, but through your products. I wanted to start with Lindy Way. Can you tell us the name of your product and just your journey briefly to what would encourage you to make this product? And the same question will go for Ayo and then Joyce. Go ahead, Lindy Way.
Thank you, Samika. What inspired? Okay, the name of my product is Lynn's Nature Slick. That's the brand of my skincare line. Although they're a registered company under Lynn's Nature Slick, it's Zombie and Rano Trading, which is an umbrella that carries everything else. But today I'm just going to speak on the Lynn's Nature Slick. What inspired this was the fact that I got divorced in 2019 and I started having serious skin breakouts. And when I did my researches and checked on the internet, what can I use? I went to proper stores and I could only find products that are really not made for an African woman or made for any woman with a melanin skin. So I struggled to find anything that could work for me. I didn't want anything that would bleach me, because lately we have this bleaching content skincare products and they have serious after effects. So I started making my own research, and that's when the birth of Lynn's Nature Slick came about. And yeah, I've been using products that are natural based, with avocado and stuff, and using that, the oils and everything from avocado, the scars disappeared. I started, the breakout stopped, and now my skin is like flawless and radiant. And I realized that no, the youth, especially those that are entering into adolescent stage, could actually benefit from this, because I don't know if it's all over the world, but in South Africa, there's been a rise of children suicide, especially the most that are entering adolescent stage, because of this filters and social media that portrays that people have got this elegant skin and they don't have skin issues, So I realized that this would help a lot. Let me not just keep it to myself. Let it just be spread across, the diaspora.
Lindy Way is
for everyone.
It's powerful. Your product, Lynn's Nature Lick, it is based, it comes from the avocado, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. The main content is avocado there. Yeah, it's avocado. Avocado oil, avocado butter. Mm-hmm. And we've also introduced a new line where we mix the shea butter, because I've realized it's very good shea butter from Ghana. I mix shea butter with avocado butter. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it does an amazing thing. Can also use it for your hair. Most of us are here, we've started to grow our own natural hair, and it's very good for that.
Mm-hmm. So your product, Awesome, is all natural? No chemicals?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. So our sisters are listening to that.
No chemicals.
Okay, especially in America, we're always looking for products, no chemicals. Okay, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, and when we come back, I want to ask you some of, you mentioned about for the skin, but also you mentioned putting on your hair, some of the additional benefits. I want to go to Ayo, your product, the city of Tay, which is interesting. Talk about your product and what led you to create it.
Okay, City of Tay came about in 2020, but the real story behind City of Tay actually started with me. I decided to go natural. Like, I was on relaxed air and I decided to go natural. And I found out that, okay, and when I added my big chop, I went to salons and I got complained that your hair is too hard. You need to do something. You need to relax it. And I was telling them that the main reason why I transitioned from being a relaxer to a natural hair, because I want to keep my natural hair. So everywhere I go to, they're like, "Are you still going to add relaxer? You're going to do this? You're going to do that?" I was frustrated, and it was not common. It was not common, because if you are on natural hair, they feel, okay, later you're going to just relax it because they cannot manage it. So I had to like sit down on my own. Yeah, I had inspirations from YouTube, from women, black women actually, and that actually had to make their hair by themselves at home. So those people were my inspiration, because around me, I couldn't get inspiration. And, you know, from there, I started doing DIYs actually, but I found out that DIYs were not sustainable for me. And that's where I ventured into what's the name, the formulation of products. But before the formulation of products, there was a lot of, you know, growth on my hair. That when people see my hair, they were like, oh, what did you use? Are you the one styling your hair? Are you the one doing that? So when I saw that, okay, I feel that what I'm doing is actually working. So that's why I started City of Tay. And, you know, City of Tay Air Help is not just about the products we are making. We are empowering men to be confident in their hair, to be confident about their natural hair, to learn how to manage it, where they can take it to their workplace, they can slay it anywhere. So when we're selling the narrative that your natural hair is your crown. And I wrote a book about that, Your Hair, Your Crown. And, you know, I had to just tell people about my experience, my story, about how I came about City of Tay Air Help. So for me, City of Tay Air Help, it's a revolution. It's an education. We are changing the status quo for the generations that are coming. So this is the story behind City of Tay.
Thank you.
Wow, amazing. You use powerful words. You say it's a revelation, it's a revolution, changing the status quo. And it's amazing. I think that was Florence. I keep referring to Florence. It was an excellent interview, as you could see last week. But she mentioned, and you all speak to it, that if there's a problem, that there's a solution. And you all speaking to that there is a problem with African women finding products made for them, by them, for people that look like them. And the solution is in us making our own products. And that's amazing. That's what's coming through. I want to go to Joyce next in Ghana. With your product, please tell us about your product and how your product also is providing a solution in the hair care industry. Go ahead, Joyce.
Okay, so I have a share-based skin care and hair care product. For the skin care product, around here, I think due to... I will always say low self-esteem. A lot of women go into bleaching because they kind of feel that when they bleach, they look more attractive and all sorts of theories behind it. Aside the bleaching, we also have the breakouts and also ringworm among children. And I realized that shea butter addresses most of these issues. Our main ingredients are shea butter, baobab oil, and neem seed oil. And neem seed oil takes care of a lot of germs, and most children around here have skin issues. And neem also takes care of breakouts. And so I tell that we have abundance of shea trees here. Most women are into small-scale shea butter processes. What can I do as somebody who has been enlightened to kind of solve this issue of addressing the skin bleaching, addressing the issue of the skin blemishes, for especially for children, where they have to go for chemicals, which has effects for them. And so I started with the neem and shea. It addressed most of the issues, and then from there I started giving it out on small scale, especially for, I come from a development background. I have worked with international NGOs, and so I had worked with a lot of women groups. You meet these women groups, they come to the meetings with their kids with these skin blemishes. I tried it on a few of them as well, so I decided that why can't we do something commercial which will address these issues. It's less expensive, it's very good, it has skin benefits for them. And also for the hair, neem and baobab promotes hair growth. It takes care of dandruff and a whole lot of things. And so I brought these things up to reduce the rate of chemicals that people use on their hair and skin. And my brand name is Wellam Share. Wellam simply means Boss Beauty. Well, I'm one of the local dialects here, and it simply means God's beauty. So we try as much as possible to use the ingredients without chemicals to preserve God's beauty. Thank you.
Thank you. That's lovely. God's beauty. Joyce mentions quite a few issues. She talked about skin bleaching. Lindy Way also mentioned it. You mentioned about self-esteem. Ayo, interested on her own journey, really being rejected when she decided to do the big chop and go natural. And I get the sense that the work you all doing, the products, the branding and changing of the narrative, it goes to the crux of us, really, the lack of self-love, what occurred when we were colonized, enslaved, and just a 24-hour machine that's been going for the last 400 or 500 years of you. If you're Black, you're less than. If you're African, you're less than. But you all are countering that through your product, which is amazing. And that's what's coming through as you all are talking. And I think to be able to teach someone to love self, that means you have to love yourself. And so I can hear that. You have to be empowered. I wanted to ask you, what has been, as you did your product and you turned into a business, a brand, what have been maybe two or three challenges that you each have had as agripreneurs, as boss ladies? I'm going to start with you, Joyce, and then I'm going to go to Ayo and then Lindy Way. Go ahead, Joyce. What have been a couple of your challenges?
So for me, the biggest challenge has been market. We are in an area where people tend to value imported products. They feel that anything that comes outside the country is more quality. That still goes to their self-esteem and finance. So we produce these products. Aside addressing the skin care and hair care issues, my brand was actually started as a way of empowering women, young women and women. I as I mentioned earlier, I come from the northern part of Ghana, where we have two seasons, the rainy season and the dry season. During the dry season, you have most of these women migrating to other parts of the country in search of jobs so that they can come back and take care of their children. Because in this part of our world, most households, the man only gives the cereal once in a while, and the woman has to fend for the children. You have to look for the source of protein, the ingredients for the soup. And these are women who are not employed. We also have these young women who, after JHS, that's the junior high or senior high school, they migrate to Southern Ghana to search for jobs. Most of these girls come back pregnant, they drop out of school, and the poverty cycle continues. So one of my major aims of starting this was to see how these women and young women can be engaged in the shared value chain. They can have a constant source of income, and we can contribute to a reduction of the migration to Southern Ghana. And so we have to get volumes, people buying in volumes, so that we can achieve our dreams. And so sometimes it's frustrating when I still see these young women traveling out and women leaving their younger children for other children to take care of and have to start migrate to Southern Ghana. And some of them go, surprisingly, they don't come back because they go there and they have to marry. So the children are left behind under the care of other children. And so that has been one of my biggest challenge and frustration. Getting markets where we can get full loans. You have people buying the raw shea butter, if not even the body added one, in the high volumes where these women can be constantly engaged throughout the year, and then we can reduce the poverty cycle. My young women can be in school. So marketing has been one of my major challenges. The other one has been machinery. If we have to produce in large volumes, it means we have to get machinery like the mill, kneader, and other stuff that will give us large volumes. And this is my own initiative that I started with my own salary, my own income. And so it's not giving me the volumes and then the marketing bit that I want. So far, these have been my challenges. Thank you.
Joyce, I want to ask you, how many people do you have employed working for your company?
So, full time, I have 25 women.
Okay.
There's an echo. I don't know where it's coming from.
Okay. And I wanted to ask that because you spoke to, as you talked about sustainability comes up. You talk about one of the issues that's dealt with is you give them employment, which I think is interesting, which is a need, but also you talked about breaking the cycle of poverty. And also you mentioned about the migrations. So your product, and because of your own awareness, you are meeting all these issues. And because we have so many issues, it's like you can't help yourself, but you have to deal with all these issues. And I wanted to mention too, as a diaspora listening and folks listening, that Africa, the different countries of Africa, is not like in America where you have banks and you can go and get all these different business loans, and they're ready investors. Most of the African women that we're listening to, they put up their own money. And so, folks, if you're listening, we're open for investment. We are open to support these women financially. They need it. They deserve it. It's worth it. Each of their products are very powerful. All African women should be aware of their products. So I just want to put that out there. Even though a lot of African countries got their independence 70, 50 years ago, the infrastructure in the various banking economies is not there, which is why you have such extreme poverty still in our country. So just wants to keep that in mind. Those us in America, we could be sponsoring these women. We can be investing in these women, even bringing their products to the States. So I just want to put that out there. Thank you, Joyce. That was excellent. I want to go to Ayo and then Lindy. What would have been a few of your challenges as an agripreneur to take your product and actually make it into a business? Go ahead, Ayo.
Okay, hello. First of all, is access to suppliers that actually give you quality, you know, because I want to make sure that whatever I'm giving my target audience is what I promised. So I remember when I first started then, I wanted to buy olive oil. Yes, and I found out that the olive oil I got to buy was not what I bought the last time, like the consistency in supply. So I spent money. By the end of the day, I couldn't sell it because the product was bad. So I had to like talk to some of my community members, and you know, I got access. But the funny thing is, you know, I have to ensure that the people I'm getting the supplies from, you know, they are vetted, and what they are supplying is quality. So because it is when the supplies are quality, I can be able to deliver quality products to my target audience. So that's one of the challenges I am going through. Then number two is the fact that there's a comparison between homemade products and, you know, imported products. So they ask you, why is it expensive? And you look at it, it's not actually expensive if you do the calculation, because my product is natural. It's made from natural products, natural herbs, you know, natural oils and all. And, you know, and when they can buy, okay, for example, there's a Nigerian currency is Naira. So you get to get my product for maybe something like 2.5, and you get a normal shampoo, a normal chemical-based shampoo for something like 200, 300 Naira. And you need to be able to convince them that, okay, this is why this is this. So that's one of the challenges I faced starting up. But I one thing I leveraged on was word of mouth, you know, letting them to use it, then coming back to me to give me feedback. So they'll be able to understand that, okay, what they're actually getting from this product is different from the normal products they are seeing outside there. So those are the two challenges I face coming up as an entrepreneur in this business currently. Mm. I'm a sole proprietorship for now. I don't have a staff, so I'm the one, you know, doing the production. With time, we tend to scale and, you know, get more support from other hands. But that's my current challenge right now. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you, Ayo. So you're a one-woman army right now. So Ayo mentioned about suppliers and pricing. which is major, major, and how others may prefer something else outside. Joyce mentioned that too, as opposed to made African, totally African. Ayo, let's go to Lindiwe. You next in South Africa. What have been a couple of your challenges as an agripreneur taking your product and really trying to transform it into a company?
My challenge as a young African woman has been the fact that the government does not take us serious, so it's lack of support from the government. And with that comes a lot more challenges because there's still the red tape. So just putting your foot into the market, it's a challenge. So I've been listening to my fellow sisters here. They all mentioned that it's word of mouth, and they have issues with marketing. The problem with me is the same. The fact that we cannot take our products, our good, healthy products, to the markets. So we have to depend on our friends, on our families, and just a close, tight network. That is a problem. Infrastructure, like I do not have a factory where I would store my products and produce in large quantities because I don't have the right machinery. And that also goes back to the government because it does a lot for others, you know. So it does a lot for others because they can qualify to get certificates that cost a huge amount of money and a huge amount of work. And a lot of things that they need for you to qualify. First of all, they want you to have a factory. They need to come assess it. They need to assess the machinery and everything else. So just for one to actually have a full packaged product and say, here's my product, can it go to large markets? It's a mission and a half. So that has been my challenge.
You mentioned some very important points. She talks about government help is needed. We know here in America, a lot of government assistance. We have what's called Small Business Administration, minority business. We may not still get all the contracts, but people will still protest. Black people will call them out. I think now they have to give like a certain percentage of the contracts to people of African descent. That's like in every state locally. But also she mentions lack of infrastructure. This was a real big thing for Kwame Nkrumah when he was president of Ghana, is we should be manufacturing and producing the whole process of any product by us. And so when she talks about going on the shelves, you go to some of the countries, you have mostly European made products. They have the money to buy these certificates. I mean, big money. Right. And so that's what's offered to the African people. So underneath what Ayo, Joyce, and Lindy were talking about, as Africans, I think we talked about this last week too. Again, I think you've mentioned too, Brother Richard, we, even though we're doing the work, even our families still reject the product that's made for them, by them, because their mind is like a psychological brainwashing that's occurred. Go ahead, Brother Richard.
It goes back to what the one host, guest said. Mm-hmm. She said marketing.
Mm-hmm.
What we don't realize is that you see how these beautiful young ladies on the line, they're starting their own business. But one of the young ladies said, I have an issue with marketing. Marketing is the way that the masses get to see your product or service on a large scale. So these major companies. So we're talking about how many employees do you have, right?
Mm.
Some of these multi-million dollar, trillion dollar companies, they have a whole marketing department. So they have a salary or a budget for a group of people that their only job is to focus on marketing. Just imagine the weight that can be lifted off your shoulder if you have a whole group of people or just a couple people that can just focus on your marketing. As an entrepreneur, that's one of the things, especially if you're like right now you're doing it by yourself. Marketing is part of the job that you have to do. You have to do this marketing. You have to do the business. You have to do everything.
And marketing is 24/7.
Yes. So you have to. That's one of the things that with us not supporting, like our families not supporting, they get in brain. Their brain is getting exposed to so much marketing on a day to day.
Not from us. That not look from, like the not people from us. Yes.
But even with music, like we talk about, why do these kids listen to this music? But you got to understand, like we wouldn't know who these artists are or who these performers are if they didn't have the marketing behind them.
Thank you, Barbara. You speak to an important point. Marketing, branding. And we need each other's support to do that. Very, very important. That has come to the forefront. Marketing. We gotta do better. We gotta drill down into that, I think, as you talk. Ladies, as you listen to Brother Richard, anybody got any response to what he just said? He said quite a bit there.
No, I think what I heard him say, I fully concur with what he was saying. Because marketing, it's not a one man's job. So with us, we have to wear many, many hats now. You have to be your own marketing manager. You have to be your own marketing team. You have to be in the producing team, everything else, because of lack of support. So once we get to the market and just get rid of the red tapes and we don't have any limitations, then we are unstoppable, because the market, that's when the masses get to see your product. So without marketing, then your product is just stuck in your small little village or small little town, and it ends there. But the more people know about your product, the more it gets exposed, and the more you get clients and you get money, because that's what we are really after, to change our own livelihood and our children and our children's children. Because, yeah, honestly speaking, because of this red tape, Tomiko, it seems like freedom on the surface, but deep within, we are still very much bonded in apartheid. That's what we called it here in South Africa.
You talk about apartheid. You're talking about economic apartheid. They still exist, it's powerful. Not just in Africa, but we find it here in the cities. It's this constant still divide. And when it goes back to the bottom lines, we have to support each other. We got to support each other. All we got is each other. And we ain't learning after 500 years. Something wrong with your brain. All we have is, you ain't got nobody but each other. That's what you realize when you're down and out, who really your friends are, when you're at the bottom. we are the ones at the bottom. All we have is each other. So we got support. And we're going to make sure that we highlight each of y'all's stories and product on our website, our journal website, the pictures of them, the websites, the links. Folks, and when y'all go to South Africa, those that's visiting, we have all these black folks, they ball and swagging now. You go to South Africa, you need to look up Lynn's Nature, Lindy Way. Everybody, you need to be buying her product. You go to South Africa, go to Nigeria, you need to look up City of Tay. You need to buy her product. You in Ghana, all y'all going to Ghana, but it is more than just Ghana. But you go to Ghana, you need to look up Joyce, you need to buy Wellum Shea for your hair. Okay, so that's it. That's how we got to start making each other. All right, so we want to continue. I know all of you ladies came together, it's not by accident, and how I knew you, but you all into the program called Ignite because you're agripreneurs and because of your product. Do you want to talk about a little bit what you got from Ignite, the importance of Ignite, what it did for you, a couple of things you may have learned? I'm going to start with Ayo in Nigeria.
Okay, Ignite was an opportunity for me to be able to, you know, share from the wealth of several women from different parts of the world, and I'm so glad that I was part of that. I was part of that program, because for me it was not just an agribusiness program. No, it was not just for agribusiness. It touched every aspect of life. Your relationship with people, it talked about your relationship with money, you know, every aspect of life. Because the fact is that for you to be able to be successful in business, every aspect of your life also matters, you know. You can't make all the money and at the end of the day you are sad. So Ignite touched every aspect of my life, and I'm so happy about Ignite. Now going to the business specifically, I was able to, you know, evaluate how I've been working, how I've been, you know, doing my business. And for me, I thought that, okay, I needed to put structure in my business. You know, you have to come to a point where your business can move without you, whether you are around or you are not around. And, you know, after Ignite, it was a whole turnaround for me. And I believe that I'm now able to put systems in the business, so that whether I'm around or I'm not around, the business can actually move forward. So that's one thing I took away from Ignite, and I'm so happy I got to be part of that program. Thank you.
That's well said, Aya. You said, and I think that is a goal, Lindy Way spoke to that the business can move without you. That means money's supposed to be generated, and you don't have to be on site. You don't have to be right there in the assembly line. Your hands don't have to be right there in the shed. but money is coming in, and that is those are rich people, right? Those that is creating that generational wealth. I think that is a good goal. Let me go to Lindy Wade next. You also a part of Ignite. Can you tell me just what a couple of benefits was from you being a part of that journey?
Thank you, Tomiko. What I loved and what I learned about Ignite is the comfort of knowing that you're not alone. Getting together with like-minded women and building a sisterhood, that was very important for me. It played a huge role. I don't even think Nana understand or can fathom the importance of this. So, yeah.
I want to go back to you were saying about the importance of sisterhood, and you were saying that you're about to say something about being with us here right now. Can you go back to that and then come forward again? Go ahead, Lindy Way.
All right. Thank you, Tomiko. I was saying that what I learned and what I loved about Ignite is the chance to have a sisterhood, you know, a sense of belonging, and you know that you are really not alone. You have people that are backing you up, and you are in this, you know, and you can do it. Because there are others that came before me and they succeeded, so definitely I'm on the right track. And also the confidence that as women in the diaspora, we can run successful agribusinesses. We should not give up. Mm-hmm. And also just getting along with like-minded people and partnering with like-minded women in the agribusiness and actually create a success out of that. I was saying that Ignite was very impactful in my life to a point that I wouldn't know you. I wouldn't be here right now on this podcast if it wasn't for Ignite. So I don't even think Nana is aware of the impact that she's got on so many people's lives, like myself.
Wow, yes. Just folks, as we listen, we're talking, they're referring to Ignite, which is under Guza. Am I saying it correct, ladies? Guza.
Yes, Guza.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Guza.
Yeah, thank you, my African sisters. And it was created by founder Nana Doja Sifa, who was Ghanaian. Amazing boss lady entrepreneur, but her program trains all these agripreneurs across the continent, and as Ayo mentioned, not just in agribusiness, but your business, your life. If you don't have your personal life together, believe me, your business life is going to be BS. It's going to be a mess. If your personal life a mess, your business is going to be a mess. And so you learn all these things. So all these women was brought together, and that's how I met these women. About 70, 80 women, 18 different African countries. Just powerful experience. Blow your mind. We do need to connect with our folks on the continent, our brothers and sisters. But that's what they're referring to, this powerful program called Ignite. It's every year. So next we want to go to Joyce. Same question, Joyce. What were some of the benefits that you got that you learned from Ignite?
Okay. Picking up on where my sister stopped, I think Ignite has been a very good opportunity for networking and for unity of African women and building our confidence. I remember some of the times, one or two times, you, Tomiko, called me and said there was a program going on and looking at my product. I should have been there, I should have presented. And I think the thought of knowing that you have a sister somewhere that you can call on or who would even have your back is something that Ignite gave us. And as women as we are, I don't know about the diaspora, but mostly in Africa, we're brought up to believe in competing among ourselves, out-competing the other person. But I think Ignite has given us the platform and the opportunity to know that we have moved from competition to collaboration, where we can do more and better for ourselves. And for the younger ones, women supporting women. And I think this is something we need to carry to the next generation and for the younger women to know that your life does not get dull when you support another woman, but we only grow and we emancipate more women, which leads to more growth for Africa.
I think, Joyce, what you said is very powerful. It speaks to, you said, from competition to collaboration. We find the same thing here in the Americas about this, where we are competing with one another. And this does not help. On our last show, we had on media, we had the founder of Coeli TV on, and Stephen of Young Africa Media Center. And that's one of the things they talked about, is this competition that we have, but we cannot have it. I think it's part of our program, but we need the collaboration. I think we was all together. That's been over a year ago. Well, I can't believe how fast time. Has it been over a year ago, ladies, we were all together?
Yeah, it's a year now.
Yeah, and we still are collaborating.
Yeah, it's a year now.
Wow, and we still collaborating and networking with each other. So that goes to Lindy Way talked about the sisterhood. We haven't forgotten about each other, right? we like in each other's brain.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. And all these women, I'm telling you, they fire starters. I was impressed listening to their story and what they did. And I'm like, okay, these. Okay, we can't let everybody should know about these women. And there's more too, but we've been keeping in contact. I want to go into, as y'all talk about, from the competition to collaboration to the sisterhood, which is so powerful, these different ways of doing business that are coming up amongst us. What has been maybe, what would be like your advice to the agripreneur? What would be your advice to those who wanted to do what you all do, go into business? What would be your advice? Some things maybe you learned you wish you knew that you didn't know. What would be your advice to them? We can start with Lindy Way and then Ayo. Go ahead, Lindy Way.
This is Joyce.
Okay, go ahead, Joyce.
So for me, as if you want to start, you need to research about your industry, where you want to venture into. And then make sure you have a network that you can lean on, because trust me, the journey is not easy, especially if that is your source, your complete source of income. It can be frustrating, and so you need to have a network of people who believe in your dreams, who will support you through and through, and even push you to go the extra mile when you feel like giving up. Those people will edge you and push you up. Thank you.
Joyce brought up some excellent points. Deshauna Spencer of Coeli TV, she said the same thing. For those wanting to go into business, you need to research your industry. She said the same thing. You also mentioned about having a network, which is very, very important, especially if this is your main source of income. I like that, Joyce. You got to have people that believe in you. Sometimes you ain't got all the money. You be like, I need a loan. You know, sometimes you might end up eating rice and beans. Or as my sister friend who passed, she was an amazing hustling entrepreneur. She said, Tomiko, you can't eat rice and beans no more. You know what you do. I said, what? She said, you eat beans and rice. You know, all to support your dream, but you got to have those people you can go to and you say, I need some money to hold me over. I need this to be able to pay staff. So that is very, very important. Let's go to Lindy Way next. What would be your advice to agripreneurs that want to go the route you've gone? Something you wish somebody had told you, what would you tell them?
You're going to need all the support there is. That's very important, to know that you have people that will hold you down and believe in your dream, because people around us affect us a lot. You tell them that I want to develop this and they'll tell you that so and so failed. You cannot do this. How about the red tapes? How about this and that? So you need all the support, people that will really believe in your mission, in your passion, and push you. The time you feel like giving up, because it really gets tough in this business. When you feel like giving up and someone reminds you, remember what you said, remember your goals, remember where you're going. If you're giving up now, what about the people that are looking up to you, the young women that you inspire? So, yeah, that's what I wish I had known. No, this is what I would tell someone who's aspiring to get into the business. And also learn. Don't be lazy to study. Read so much about the field that you are entering into. Learn as much as you can from the people that have done this before you.
Powerful talks. Have support and make sure you read and learn. Very, very, very important gems of wisdom. Ayo, you next. Who would you tell that budding agripreneur?
Okay, first of all, I would say that
Start with what you have. Start with the resources that you have. You know, you don't have to compare yourself with people that have been in business for like 5 years. You're just starting. So start with what you have. What are you good at? Sell that, market that. Let it be your selling point. You don't have to give excuses. Oh, I don't have the money. I don't have the leverage. I don't have this. No. Look at you. You have everybody. Everybody has their own strengths. They have, you know, what it is, what we call SWOT analysis. You know, start with SWOT analysis. Sell out your strengths. From that, you begin to get clarity on what you should, you know, focus on. So it's very, very important that you start with what you have. And from there, you get ideas on how to scale up. So that's the first thing. Then the second one is that, yeah, you don't need money to start a business, but what you need is a good plan. Money is just a tool. A lot of people will say, I don't have money for this, I don't have money for that. See, if you have one person that believes in your dream, and if you are the person that believes in your dream, your ideas, your plan itself will sell itself. So money is just a tool to, you know, to scale up. It is not just, it's not the real tool to start it, but start with what you have. So those are the 2 cents I have. Thank you.
2 cents. I think you gave a dollar's worth. That was excellent. Folks, as we begin to wrap, I want to ask you ladies, you talk about the challenges and the journeys and sometimes feeling different ways, but who's your inspiration? What inspires you to keep going despite? Let me hear back from Joyce and then Lindy Wayne Ayo. Go ahead, Joyce. What keeps you moving? Who inspires you? What's your inspiration?
So my inspiration are the young women who look up to me. This venture has given me a lot of exposure. Like one of the resources, I didn't get his name right. He spoke about marketing. I do a bit of social media marketing, and that has inspired a lot of change among young women in my area where I live in Northern Ghana. They know that you don't have to look up to government always for a job, even though I do other things alongside. They know that entrepreneurship is one thing that can open you up and give you the freedom you need. And so I have a young women that, I have a whole lot of young women that are looking up to me, that sometimes call me. I don't even know them, but out of the blue, they call, and so you are an inspiration, and we are looking up to you. We want to be like you when we grow up. So that gives me, at times, sorry, even when I am down, and I feel like giving up, I think about them and I'm like, no, I can't give up. If I have started a generation of women who believe in themselves and know that they can make it, I can't afford to let them down. And so that invites me to keep moving. Thank you.
Thank you. Those coming behind your inspiration. Thank you, Joyce. What about you, Lindy Way, South Africa? And then we'll go to Ayo.
My inspiration has been my late grandmother. She was a small-scale farmer, and that has actually supported us. We never starved. We never went to bed with an empty stomach. So we always had food on our table because of that. So during the COVID-19, I realized that the high rate of unemployment, it's getting worse and worse in our country. So I decided, you know what, let me venture into this agribusiness, because I'm not just doing the skincare products only. I'm also into poultry and vegetables. So I did that, and we're able to sustain ourselves and live. So that also inspires young people, because I don't know if it's everywhere, but mostly here in my country and most of African countries I know, they people that are farmers or agriculture, it's looked at as a very field for illiterate people. So when they look at a young woman like me, who's a hippie, and yeah, I don't look like an old person, it should inspire them as well that we can actually venture into this, because no farmer, no food. So we need to teach the younger generation that the importance of farming, just like my grandmother
has inspired me too. So I realize each one teach one, then it goes on. Mm. It's an inheritance that you cannot replace with anything.
Powerful, an inheritance that you cannot replace. In agriculture on both continents amongst Black people, the diaspora is making a comeback, and that is excellent. Okay, Ayo, you, your inspiration.
Okay, my inspiration would always be the people that are coming after me. At the end of the day, my mantra and my statement is, you can if you think you can. So no matter the challenges that life throws out to you, the fact that you tell yourself you can go out and do it, the fact that you don't allow those challenges to put you down, then you can do it. So no matter what is coming up, no matter the challenges you are facing, just keep on keeping on. And with that, with the challenges I've gone through and, you know, the reviews I get from my products, and sometimes when I don't want to do anything, these people just come, oh, I love what you're doing. Just keep it up. Just keep it up. So the reviews itself is something that makes me to continue what I am doing. And the fact that I know that I am impacting lives. So people have a reference point when they need a reference point.
Folks, as we begin to wrap up, y'all are listening to today's podcast, Africa's Green Revolution. We're talking about the agri-revolution, but we're talking to three amazing, inspiring women agripreneurs who are in the hair and skin beauty industry, which is very important, especially to black women. We into our hair. We will pay. It's like multi-billion dollar hair industry just in America alone, and also into skincare, billions of dollars. So very important. We have Lindy Way on with us from South Africa, Joyce Ghana, and Ayo out of Nigeria. I want to just, I know you all do the agribusiness, but you do more than that. Can you tell each of us as we begin to wrap up the show, just some of the other things that you do, just your experience that helps you to be able to do your business today? Let's start with Lindy Way, and then we'll go to Ayo and Joyce in Ghana. Lindy Way, what's some of the other things you do? You mentioned you have several other businesses. Can you speak to our audience?
Oh yes. So I'm a proper agribusiness woman. Under Ndombi and Rondo Trading, that's where we have Lynn's Nature's Leek, and we have the avocado oil, the shea, the avocado butter, and the lotions, avocado lotion. Everything is avo. This I'm the avo lady. But besides that, I'm also a poultry and vegetation farmer. So yes, we farm, we grow chickens and vegetables. And well, we are also involved in clothing. So yeah, your latest trends.
That is Lindy Way. She's a fashionista. And,
that's what we.
I'm letting them know you're a fashionista. Yeah. You look at her IG. Weren't you like the South Africa queen or something? She's like famous. Lindy Way, what was your vote? I'm saying you got to look at her IG page. You want your latest fashion tips, all that stuff. What was you voted as? You came close. What was it?
My IG handle, it's Lint. Uh-huh. _nature_lick.
Yes, but you ran for a beauty pageant or something, didn't you run for a beauty pageant?
Yeah I was a semi-finalist for Mrs. Universe Africa, so yeah.
Yes, yeah, and brothers, I'm sorry, she is taken. She is taken already. So you could support her product. Send your ladies to support her product, but she is taken. Okay, all right, thank you. So,
oh yes, please.
Yeah, I know your man somewhere thank nearby. You. Probably he always like right there. So yeah, so that's Lindy. Where
he is right here.
I knew it. Yeah. Okay, good. All right. So next we have, so Ayo, talk about some of the things you do besides, you do quite a bit also. You speak in such a wide, broad range of subjects. Talk to us about some of the other things you do and some of your goals.
Okay. For me, I'm into digital marketing. I also help small and medium scale businesses to increase their visibility online through social media management, content marketing, video editing and all. So it's more about, okay, if the traditional marketing is not really giving you a result, let's leverage on the social media and help scale your business. So that's one of the major things I do, apart from, you know, my business, which is City of Bayeho. And also I'm into product design, yeah, and I'm more or less linking it to the beauty aspect part. So that's what I do. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And those buzz like the dark skin melanated sisters, that's Ayo. We got a beautiful dark skin sister on. Yeah. Joyce, a beautiful, highly melanated sisters. And this is real good for us because we know as African women, we come in all shades. You know, like I think Joyce said it well, God's beauty. You know, there's a sculpture here in the U.S. in the Walters Art Museum. And it's a sculpture of this beautiful Africanized woman. And it's made by this European man. They say he traveled across the world. This may have been during the 18th, 19th century. But when they asked him to make a sculpture of what he considered the most beautiful woman, this is what he made, the African woman. We know the African woman has produced the world, literally. She is the beginning of civilization. So she is the highest standard of beauty, the African woman. FYI memo, for some of y'all don't know that, she is it. So these women are right on point on where they're supposed to be. All right, our next melanated beauty, Joyce in Ghana. Talk about some of the other things you do. You have quite a bit of background in your studies and as a businesswoman. Joyce in Ghana.
Okay, so I do quite a lot, like you mentioned. I am a development worker. I work full-time. I run a mentorship program for young women. I'm passionate about the development of young women. And we have a peculiar case here. So I have an organization called Tiltaba, which means supporting each other. And under Tiltaba, we run the Empowered Woman Hub, where we run various initiatives encouraging young women, one, to stay in school, two, to excel in school. So under the Empowered Woman Hub, we also have the She Grows, where we try to support women in vegetable farming. We tried a piggery and rearing guinea fowl. It didn't go so well. So I'm trying to restructure the dice and then we start that again. And then we also run business support services for people who want to register their businesses. And we also speak on social entrepreneurship, how to be an entrepreneur and giving back to society. And so basically that's what I do. And so in my full-time work, I do development work and public health. Thank you.
And of course, that's why Joyce does not sleep. She is working 24/7 to uplift us African women. She is working 24/7. Folks, just a final question for you all ladies. Where can we find your products, your IG, social media page? We can go online and see your products. And we can start with Ayo, Lindy Way, and Joyce. Ayo, you first. Do you have an IG, social media page?
Yes, I do. My social media handle, IG, for my business, City of TAL, and my personal page at Simply Ayotemide. So you can reach out to me there and we can connect. Thank you.
Okay, nice. Lindy Way.
Okay, mine link is LINZ_natures.
Okay, thank you so much. And that's South Africa.
Call. Well, I'm sure.
Okay, well, I'm Shay. And where can we find Wellam Shay at, Joyce?
Yes. Where do you find? We are on Instagram, on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And your hair care products.
Yeah, hair care products, skin care products, and natural shea butter.
Okay.
So in the way, I would get in contact. We need to talk.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
Please do.
And Lindy Way, can you say again where to find your products? I know you have your IG page. And what are your different products?
My different products are avocado butter and avocado oil, avocado lotion, avocado soap.
Very nice, very nice.
My IG handle is LINZ_natures_lick. Then on Facebook, it's just LINZ Natures Lick.
Okay. Thank y'all so much. Thank y'all, ladies. It's been amazing. Do y'all have any final words as we close out our show? Any final thoughts?
I just want to say thank you so much to the listeners and
Thank you so much to you, the host, Tomiko, and our lovely brother. I appreciate the time given. I appreciate you guys taking your time out of your busy schedule to hear us out and try to assist in any way you could. I really, really thank God for your lives, and I believe that from here we are soaring higher and higher.
Very nicely said. Very nicely said. Joyce, Ayo?
Okay, for me, I want to say thank you so much for this opportunity and this platform. I'm so happy that I'm not alone, and you know, I can share my challenges with women around. You know, I'm so happy for giving us this platform. So thank you very much. God bless.
Thank you all. And Joyce?
Yeah, along with my sisters, just to say we are grateful for the opportunity, for the exposure, and we're looking forward to more networks, which would help grow Africa and give us a stronger network and collaboration. So I am open for more collaboration. Anybody in US wants to start selling my products, wants to start selling share butter, we can take it from here. Let's connect and see how we uplift Africa together. Thank you.
Thank you. Amazing. I like that, Joyce. That could be a campaign, Grow Africa. I like that. Grow Africa. So, folks, we have had an amazing show with three amazing melanated agripreneurs who are just doing their thing, but also they need that continued support. I believe that our strength going forward, and I think, Brother Richard, as Africans going into the next century, is I think our resource and our strength is going to be each other across the diaspora. That's what I'm getting all these shows we've been doing, listening to folks. I think our strength is each other. Black unity, right? And I think we've been brainwashed to not think that, but it is that. it is that. Yeah, other cultures, other races, they have unity. They will support each other. They only hire each other. They will only buy from each other.
That's true.
Yeah, here in America, you go to a Korean spot, and there ain't no black person behind the counter taking your money.
That's true.
Yeah, they had their own.
You know, here in South Africa, Tomiko, we have the Muslim community, the Indians. Mm-hmm. They support each other. They come here with nothing, but they don't care whether you're related to them with your DNA. But just the fact that you are an Indian, they will support you. They create their own like stock cells where they gather money and they help you get up on your feet and support your family wherever they are. So we're actually starting that ourselves because we were divided for so many years. But yeah, here's the beginning of a new chapter.
I love it. Go ahead, Brother Richard.
I just want to say this one thing. I was looking at a clip from a podcast earlier, and a black gentleman, he was saying that he talked to a Jewish man, and he was like, you would never see my dollar, because my dollar within my community. I go to a Jewish owned grocery store, and then I go to a Jewish owned lawyer. I go to a Jewish owned. All of our dollars stay within our community. And that's a concept that they try to make us in America feel like we're wrong for having, like, to have something like that. No, that's not the wrong way to think. That's the correct way to think. We need to control our dollar because our dollar is going to everybody else's community besides our own.
Powerful. I remember when the elders said that back in the day, the black dollar would circulate 19 times in the black community before it left. Now it's less than one time. And the same problem in Africa. So we need to not just buy with each other, but we need to keep that dollar in the community. And then we could generate wealth. We would be able to break the cycles of poverty. We would be able to have mega million. We could make these boss ladies millionaires on the line. Brother Richard, we could make him have an empire. Go ahead. Is that Lindy Way?
You know, Tomiko, I think Africa's actually eventually opening their eyes because I've just been selected or nominated as one of the representatives of a huge community of people. It's black men and women coming together, and we are calling this organization, it's MABA, Made in Africa Products Ambassadors.
Ooh, nice.
So everything Africa. So it's a huge organization. You guys must just check it out. Yeah, it's a huge movement. Like, there's nothing stopping us from now on.
Go ahead, Brother Richard.
I feel like when we think about Black unity, we also got to look at the Black family, because the Black unity on a larger scale is only representation of what we do on within our own families. If we have, if we're not displaying Black unity within our families, it's going to be hard to display Black unity on a larger scale. And that's where it starts. Because think about it. Think about how many people in your family may have started their own business or starting their own business. And this is within your own family that we don't even support. So we have to look within our own family and say, like, we could put all our resources together as one family and we can be a powerful force.
Excellent. Joyce, did you have a comment? Did you want to speak? You good? Okay. All right, folks. We're just lightening up. We got probably supposed to be ended.
So,
go ahead.
I just wanted to tell you in the way that their movement is a powerful one. Accra is sustained. And I am bringing my father to that platform.
That's right. We need to find out more about what Lindaway is talking about, and we need to meet again. We've got to have y'all back on the show in a few months to get an update on what's going on, to keep exposing y'all. We'll use our platform here in America to expose our brothers and sisters in Africa, which is what we do. And we are obligated, us here in America. You know, we are considered the Joseph class, where we were sold into slavery by our brothers and sisters, right? Not knowing what, but part of that is in the book of the Bible, Joseph, he returned. Right, we have the skill sets, we have the monies, we have trade. We've got to return back to our homeland in various ways, back to Mother Africa. She's calling her children back. She wants her family to come together again and return to our rightful place. And we must do that. We must do that. Folks, thank y'all so much.
Yes.
Thank y'all so much, ladies. I appreciate it. I'm honored to have you, humbled to be on here with you all. I think we're on a continued journey. So thank you, Diaspora. Thank y'all so much for listening. Tune in for another powerful show. You know, we keep it lit. We burn the walls down, and we will bring you today South Africa, Nigeria, and Ghana. And of course, when you get ready to go to any of those places, you ought to spend your money with them, most definitely. All right, folks, so we're going to end today's show. We are continuing Pan-African Heritage Month. We have another great show for you next week. And then in March, we have Women Black History Month. We highlighting our Black queens, African queens, so stay tuned for that. But we're going to have Salma the Great from Zambia. She's going to take us out again with Final Form. Peace and blessings, family, across the diaspora. Appreciate you.
In my melanin. first name Eve. Somebody ate the food they told the great to never eat. I'm dripping, DNA sees like I'm born gray. I be mad 2 G's. Third world in it, first world I dated. No mentor, all my heroes assassinated. We been here, we incarnated. Tryna finish what they started and we made it. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin.